us. Now, remember, today is Fun Friday. We have some giveaways, and we're going to have another giveaway in this half hour, a pizza and an ice cream for you. But the sub-theme for today is just rewards as well. My next guest comes to us all the way from Ohio. Daryl Ray is an organizational psychologist and consultant. He's been a student of religion all of his adult life. He was raised in a fundamentalist home by parents who eventually became missionaries, and he's seen religion from both sides now, to quote Judy Collins. His parental grandfather was a country preacher for over 40 years. His other grandfather was a church elder for 50 years. So it's kind of surprising that this is a man who sort of turned against organized religion and has become part of an atheistic movement here in the United States. He soon learned that he could not tell others to believe what he himself didn't believe, and so that's when he dropped out of organized religion. At the same time, he was at Peabody College of Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. Joining us, as I said, from Ohio, the author of a new book, The God Virus. Welcome to the show, Daryl Ray. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Correction, I'm from Kansas City.
I'm sorry, Kansas City.
Yeah.
My apologies, my apologies.
I'm gonna give the Ohioans a bad name.
Oh, I don't know about giving Ohioans a bad name. But you have a really interesting background. I mean, to say that you were raised in a strict religious background would be a mild understatement. Tell me about your upbringing and what it was like for you growing up.
Well, actually, I had a pretty darn good childhood. I'm not going to say I was abused or anything, but I had to go to church 3 to 5 times a week. And, of course, that doesn't feel too good when you're a kid.
No.
You don't know any better, so you just assume that's the way everybody is. But, you know, you had to get baptized. You had to confess your sins. You had to read the Bible. You had to go to Sunday school. And I was a good singer, so I ended up in the choir and actually was a tenor soloist for many years for several different churches, taught Sunday school, went to seminary thinking I was going to be a preacher or some kind, and at the end of seminary, after reading the Bible critically, figured, man, that book is horrendous. That's one nasty book. So started having second thoughts about what all this was about. When I finished my master's degree at Skerritt College for Christian Workers. That's where I got my master's before I went to Vanderbilt.
Okay. Now, so you critically read the Bible and decided, boy, there's some nasty stuff in there. Now, it's not all bad in the Bible, right? I mean, there are some good parts of it too. So,
it's not all bad in the Quran. There's some good parts in the Quran too.
Oh, a very good point that you make there. Yeah.
You can take any holy book, and there's some good parts in any holy book. But does that mean it's worth reading or using as a life way you pattern your life after? Remember, the same God that Jesus is supposed to be. I mean, the Catholics, everybody thinks he's all one God, is the same God that was murdering millions of people in the Old Testament.
Yeah,
the Palestinians got the raw end of the deal when the Jews, so-called tribes of Israel, came in and conquered their territory.
Very interesting. So it's not just Christianity that you're against. You're against organized religion in general, whether it is Islam, whether it is Hinduism, whatever the case may be.
Well, what I want to do is reveal the manipulations that any religion uses. And it really doesn't matter what religion, whether it's a cult, you know, whether it's Scientology or it's Islam or Christianity, Hinduism, they all use the same manipulation. And it's remarkable. When you start looking at religion from an objective point of view, and you start seeing the patterns, they're all the same. I mean, think of the whole idea of you're going to go to hell, you're going to suffer forever.
All right.
If you don't believe something. Well, that's pretty common to a lot of religions. So no matter who you are, you're going to suffer in hell according to some religion.
All right. But
so
then
we're all going to hell.
Or there's the flip side of that, which is the reward side, and that the promise of heaven or 40 virgins or whatever the reward is.
Right. But you'll notice if you watch the way things work, there's a heck of a lot more description of the downside than there is on the upside. I mean, all you know about is angels are somewhere in heaven. You really don't get anything except there's many mansions in my Father's home, is what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you really don't know much, but you know quite a bit about hell. And religion is focused on the hell side, and Dante's Inferno really influenced a lot of people. And when you listen to the Baptists, you know, hellfire and brimstone, they're not out there preaching. They're not giving you the specific descriptions of why you'd want to do this.
Right.
To get to heaven. And you know, it's kind of interesting. If people are being good because they're afraid, is that really being good? You know, if my children, if they were growing up, and the only time they behaved is when I was watching them, I'd think I was a pretty bad parent. I need to teach my children to be good whether I'm watching them or not.
Well, now, Daryl, that brings up the old interesting argument, do the ends justify the means? The child is good whether, you know, for whatever reasons, if it's fear or if they've instilled in themselves some value system, they're being good. And you got to start someplace, especially you've used the example of children, especially with children, you've got to start someplace, getting them to behave until they can develop their own value system, which usually takes a number of years.
Right. It just doesn't require religion to do that.
Ah, okay.
There's many a non-religious person that raises good children. And there's many a parent in other religions who raise good children. So, you know, let's get rid of this whole idea you have to be a Christian to raise good children. There's many Hindus that have great children. There's many Buddhists that have great children. So it has nothing to do with what religion you are. It has to do with whether you're a good parent or not.
All right.
And whether you teach the values of the culture and humanitarian values to kids so that they do unto others as others, you know, as you would have them do to you, which is an idea that way predates Jesus or even Judaism. It goes way back there, like 2,000 years.
Sure. We're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody. He's the author of a new book, The God Virus. And if you want to call in and ask him some questions, our dial-in number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. Daryl, I mean, one of the fundamental theses of your book is that religion is a virus.
Yeah.
So how did you come to that conclusion? And explain what it is you mean by that.
Well, the idea of ideas as viruses have been around for quite a while. And if you think about, many of your listeners have had computer viruses on their computers, and they don't argue with their technician when the technician says, you know, you got a virus on your hard drive. They don't get mad at the technician and say, well, that's not really a virus. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying religion's really a virus. I'm saying it acts like a virus. It looks like a virus. You know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it may be a duck. And so you look at what the religion does. It wants to get from my brain to your brain, and it really doesn't care about me. I mean, you think about the sacrifices religion requires of people. They're antithetical to my best interest oftentimes. I mean, given being a suicide bomber or being a Catholic priest and not having children or a nun and not having children, that's pretty stupid behavior in terms of just genetics. You know, you're not going to pass your genes on if you're a priest, a nun, or a suicide bomber, probably.
Probably not. That's true.
So you've got religion is so powerful, it can make people do things that go against their own biological best interest. And that's, I mean, think of it. Priests and nuns commit genetic suicide.
That they do, but they're doing it in the name of something bigger. They have a higher calling.
In the name of propagating the religious virus. Let's go back to our computer metaphor. The computer metaphor, the virus wants to get from my hard drive to your hard drive.
Right.
It really doesn't care. It wants to destroy something. It wants to make some bad thing happen to your computer and then go to the next computer. Well, that's the way religion operates. It wants to get from my brain to your brain. And it doesn't care if it messes up the operating system. And one of the ways that it messes up the operating system is through, for example, sex. All religions, all major religions, are sex negative. The first thing they do is try and tell you what you can and can't do with your body sexually. It has nothing to do with rational behavior, what's safe behavior. That's why you get these, you know, fundamentalists and Catholics and Muslims saying you can't teach kids basic sex education. Don't use condoms. I mean, that's crazy. And yet religions do that all the time. So you can think about that virus is messing up the operating system. Now, why is it doing that? In its best interest, not in the person's best interest. Just like the computer virus.
All right. Now, I see the point that you're making or trying to make there, and I understand that. The difference between a computer virus, though, and what you're describing is a computer virus doesn't have a malicious gene to it. It goes to my computer, and if my computer's not connected to the network, it's just going to stay on the computer. It doesn't have a will of its own to try to leave that computer and go someplace else. I guess what I'm saying is that religion by itself doesn't have a will to go and propagate itself, does it?
Well, I think we want to be careful in the use of the word will.
Okay.
It simply wants to get from one brain to the next brain, just like the computer virus wants to get from one computer to the next. Whether it doesn't have a will as in the way that we think of will and willpower, but think of a natural virus, a rhinovirus that gives you the cold.
Mm-hmm.
It gets in your nose. It irritates the nerve endings of your nose it literally takes over. A cold virus takes over your nervous system temporarily to force you to sneeze. That's why you can't resist sneezing when you've got a cold, because that virus wants to get from my nose to your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are billions of viral viruses in my nose when I sneeze. only a few are going to get from my nose to your nose. There are many, many religions out there. They're all wanting to get from one brain to the next. There's an enormous competition out in the world to infect people's minds with religions, just like there's an enormous competition to infect people's noses with viruses. And they're all competing. Now, the nice thing is, in the United States, thank goodness, we have a pluralistic society, so religions are fighting each other, and they're mutating, and they're changing. I mean, look what happened. Look at the Catholic Church, for example.
All right, let's...
You know, the Catholic Church is so dead set against any kind of divorce. But isn't it interesting, over 70% of all the annulments in the entire world are given to Catholics in the United States that represent only 3% of all the Catholics in the world. Isn't that interesting? Why would the Catholic Church mutate? Why would it change its procedures so dramatically in the United States? Because, you know, if you don't do it, you're going to lose a hell of a lot of people. There's going to be tons of people leaving your organization, and then the money's going to go, too.
Sure.
And the Baptists saw the same thing. The highest divorce rate among all religious groups in the United States is Baptists and fundamentalists. And they saw that in the Baptist church, if you're divorced, they kind of push you off to the side. They don't throw you out, but they push you off to the side. And they were starting to realize, you know, if we have the highest divorce rate and we're pushing people out or to the side, then we're losing potential members and money. You can't, that's unsustainable. So they've had to change their tune a little bit. You go onto a Baptist website and you can see divorce care on there. So our very, and before our very eyes, religions that say that God's word never changes are changing before our very eyes.
Interesting. We're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody, author of the book, The God Virus. And Daryl, I just want to tease the audience. When we come back, let's talk about that connection between religion and money, because I think that that is a strong connection and probably worth discussing. We're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, not only are we going to pick up with our guest, Daryl Ray, but we're also going to give away our second pizza and ice cream combination on Fun Friday. So stay tuned after this short break.
Are you being audited by the California State Board of Equalization regarding your sales or use tax? The state auditors are now telling business people that have essentially service businesses that they've been mistaken all these years and owe huge amounts of sales tax plus penalties plus interest. You need to know what may turn your non-taxable service business into one where the state demands sales tax on your total gross revenue and how to avoid this. We will represent you with the auditors, appeals, and the courts. Getting representation as soon as you know you're being audited may be crucial. It may be the difference between preventing a minor case turning into a major one, or even criminal investigation and criminal prosecution. I'm tax attorney Steve Moskowitz with over 30 years of tax experience. For an attorney-client privilege consultation, call 888-TAX-DEAL. That's 888-TAXDEAL. 888-TAX-DEAL.
In business today, time is money. So when your office computers or servers go down, so does your income. Locally owned and operated IT The Works will respond quickly and professionally, getting you up and running and making money. IT The Works services include everything from scheduled maintenance to updates to virus removal, backup, and data recovery. There is nothing they can't or won't do to earn your business. If you are frustrated with your current computer services, or if your IT plan has you wondering what you're paying for, give IT The Works a call. They will accurately determine your needs and provide you an affordable service estimate. Making the decision to change is sometimes difficult and overwhelming. With IT The Works, Anthony will create a seamless transition with a personal touch, not often experienced in the IT world. Give Anthony Ellis a call at 479-1605 or visit IT The Works website at ittheworks.com. Once again, that number is 479-1605.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Ron Tunick, sharing with you my thoughts about a very caring, family-owned business right here in Ventura called DMC Transmissions. Now, I don't know a thing about transmissions. You all know that. But DMC Transmissions knows everything about your transmission. Here's what they know. DMC Transmission knows how to create that very special experience that says we care, we listen, and we're going to get the job right the first time. DMC Transmissions, right there at the corner of Seward and Thompson. Give them a call, 652-2221, 652-2221. Seward and Thompson, say hi to Donnie for me at DMC Transmissions.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and it is Fun Friday today. That's right, Fun Friday. And every Fun Friday, we have a giveaway. Today, we've got kind of a complete meal. We've got a pizza from Cordello's Pizza, and you can redeem it at any one of their two locations, 1700 East Thompson or 509 South C Street. That's a one-topping large pizza and an ice cream to go with that from McConnell's Ice Cream, a single scoop with toppings from McConnell's. And that'll go to the third caller at 639-0008. The third caller at 639-0008. Get your weekend off to a good start with a meal brought to you from Billy the Brain. And our guest today is Daryl Ray. Daryl's written a book called The God Virus. He is himself, and I'm putting words into your mouth, an atheist, but he's actually explaining to us why religions act as a virus. And not only are you in demand for radio shows like mine, Daryl, but you're also in demand for speaking. You're going someplace very interesting to speak next, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been all over North America for the last year, but I'm getting ready to go to Ireland, and then in the fall I'll be in England speaking in both places. But, you know, they've recently had, in January 1st, the blasphemy laws went into effect in Ireland. So anybody who blasphemes another religion gets a 25,000-euro fine and 6 months in prison. So I'm taking donations for bail money right now when I go and speak there.
The blasphemy law. Now, I've not heard of this. So the Irish Parliament passed a law that says if I speak out against the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, no matter what, I can be fined. And how much is that fine?
25,000 euros.
25,000 euros, and because of the value of the euro, still a little bit more than, that's over $25,000, close to $30,000.
Exactly. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, this goes against all common sense, but, you know, the United States, even some of our states early in, you know, before the Revolution, before the American Revolution, and even afterwards, some of our states had blasphemy laws. There are still blasphemy laws on some of the books in some states.
Sure, but you're talking the 17th and 18th centuries. You're talking the 21st century in Ireland.
Right.
A little bit of a difference.
There are people in the United States that would like to enact blasphemy laws, so don't get it. You know, we've got fundamentalists here in the United States that would like to do that.
And
blasphemy laws are interesting because they're a clear sign that the God virus has infected the political system at the very highest level.
Oh, now that was an interesting, and this is a new tact. I wanted to go down this road with you, so let's go down it now.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between religion and politics? I mean, we see it in the fundamental right and the effect that they can have on an American political election. What's the impact modern evangelism and religion in general has had on American society and politics in general over the last 25 years?
Well, looking at religion generically, any religion that conquers somewhere wants to take over the central nervous system, which is the political system, whether that be Islam conquering Iran or Christianity conquering Northern Europe after the fall of the Roman Empire. It doesn't matter. They all want to conquer and get into the central nervous system. Well, that's once a religion has gotten into the political central nervous system, then it sets up protections for itself. It's a heck of a lot easier to maintain your religion and the money and the power that goes with it if you control the halls of Congress or the halls of the king, queen, emperor, whatever. And that's what religion does inevitably. And as soon as it gets into power, it almost always enacts blasphemy laws against all other religions. Now, the blasphemy law may be written neutrally. For example, there's a blasphemy law in Egypt, but you cannot blaspheme religion. So if I blaspheme Islam, I'll go to prison. But, you know, if you use exactly the same words to blaspheme Christianity in Egypt, nobody ever seems to bat an eye.
Well, isn't that a question of enforcement, though, more than the law itself? I mean, people enforcing the laws, if you blaspheme against Catholicism in Egypt, who cares? You know, it's a bunch of Catholics. But if you blaspheme against Islam, which is the state religion, then they're going to take exception to that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's happened in Ireland, where I'm going next week, is they create these blasphemy laws. But the interesting thing is they never seem to get enforced. If they do, it's enforced on non-Catholics, not on Catholics. Because the enforcement structure is subtly works in that direction, if you will. But in the United States, we had the same thing happen under George Bush.
Well, how so?
You look at the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. Those faith-based initiatives were biased, even though it looked on the surface of it, this was a neutral, legally neutral endeavor. Who actually got into there? It wasn't the liberal Christians. And it wasn't the atheists. I mean, nobody except fundamentalists got into that office or got money from that office. And that office was showing lots of money to abstinence-only programs, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody was giving money to any Christian group that wanted to help Planned Parenthood. So you can see there's a very subtle enforcement that always comes out whenever one religion infects the central nervous system.
We're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody. He's the author of the book, The God Virus. And we were just making the connection between religion and politics. I want to go back to something we teased the audience with before we went to commercial break, which is the connection between religion and money. Now, talk to us, Daryl, about that, because money makes the world go around, you know, the show me the money, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How strong is the connection between religion and money, and how do those two things support one another?
Well, it's interesting, because you would think it's straightforward, but it's not as straightforward as it looks like. Many people say, well, religion's all about the money. No, religion's all about propagation. And you can see that for the better part of 1,800 years, or less than maybe 1,400 years, Catholic Church forbid usury, which is
lending,
interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that's a stupid thing to do, but religions aren't economically intelligent. And to this day, Islam still prohibits usury or the charging of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at religions, they are not an economic system. All they want to do is take advantage of any economic system that's available. If you look at the way, just go to any church budget, if you look at it from a God virus standpoint, I call it in my book, I talk about the 5% solution. Look at the budget of any church. 5 cents out of every dollar actually goes to help someone. The other 95 dollars or cents in any dollar goes to propagate the God virus. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, it goes to buy Bibles, to build churches, to pay preachers, to pay missionaries, to develop programs that will teach Sunday school, literature, all that sort of stuff. Put all that money together, and that is God virus money. It's not built, it's not drilling a well, it's not curing a disease, it's not doing anything, you know, paying for an operation. You can bet that if Christians spend 5%, 5 cents out of every dollar, you know, sending a doctor somewhere to operate, then they spend another 5 cents on that dollar, at least, advertising all the good works they've done, and then 90 cents goes to handing out Bibles, building churches.
Well,
I know what I'm talking about. My parents were missionaries.
Sure.
I watched this. And as good as my parents were, I don't want to be disrespectful, they were doing the best they could with what they had, but they were very infected. And they couldn't see that by spending all this money people gave them to give Bibles, didn't teach kids mathematics or reading or problem-solving skills. And that's what religion does. And we get really critical on the West of the madrasas in Pakistan that teach all these children nothing but religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go to a Baptist church school where they, you know, a school where the kids go to school every day and sponsored by the Baptists or by the Catholics. You're going to see all sorts of time and money spent on brainwashing the kids, infecting them with that particular God virus.
All right. Now, we're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody. Daryl, I want to come back to the money issue. So you say 5 cents of every dollar goes to really helping people.
Right.
Isn't that really just a function of the inefficiencies of these church organizations because they're not run and set up like businesses? Because if you had a charity, whether it was the United Way or any of these other major charities, that only 5% of the proceeds went to actually doing the job, the people in charge would be fired and they'd bring in a whole new administration. Isn't this just a function of the inefficiencies of how the churches work?
No, it's a function of the God virus. It wants to propagate itself, so it's going to take as much of the money it possibly can and use it towards that end. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says any charity may only spend no more than 40% on administration,
right,
and non-charitable
work, right? Yeah,
60 cents out of every dollar, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, must go to something of value,
right,
to the people that receive it. If so, in other words, you're much better off giving your money to Habitat for Humanity or United Way than you ever are giving it to a church. So why do people give money to a church when it's going to be that? And we all know it's going to be that inefficiently used. Because the churches, every church, whether it's Islam, Christianity, doesn't matter, has infected somebody's mind so that they can only see, oh, if I give money, I'm going to get in heaven. Or, oh, if I give money, I'm going to get some you know, benefits with the rest of the people in my church.
Right, like the old Catholic indulgences in the 1700s. We're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody. He's the author of the book, The God Virus. We've only got a couple of minutes left, literally 2 minutes left, Daryl. And I want to shotgun some questions at you. First of all, the big question, is there a God?
Well, I have no invisible friends myself. I have friends that do have invisible friends. I'm not going to make a final judgment on that. I guess I don't care. I don't have any invisible friends, so I don't care. And I don't care what you think. I just want to reveal the manipulations that religion has.
Okay.
I'm not in here to debate whether there's God or not.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Interests me, actually.
Do you consider yourself a spiritual person?
No. I'm an atheist. There's no doubt about that.
Straight up atheist.
Yeah.
Not even an agnostic.
Oh, no. No, I'm not agnostic. I'm not. I got off the fence years ago.
All right.
I don't believe there's a Zeus. I don't believe there's, you know, any other kind of God out there. There's no Odin. There's no Thor. There's no Yahweh. There's just nothing. I mean, I see no more evidence for a Yahweh than I do for a Thor.
All right, fair enough.
That's kind of where I come from.
Fair enough. You're square in the atheistic camp, and I can go with that. I can understand that. But now your book, the God Virus, really talks about all of the various religions. It doesn't single one out, but I'm going to ask you to do that. Are there one religion more than another that's less offensive, that is less viral in the way that it propagates itself?
You know, that's a great question. Let's just put it this way. All religions go through phases. Some are more parasitic. Some are more what I call symbiotic in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Catholicism went through its parasitic phase when it invaded South America and killed millions of people with disease and with soldiers. Islam did the same thing. Buddhism did the same thing. Hinduism did the same thing. Every religion is more parasitic at some point in its life, and it's more symbiotic at other points in its life, and you never know which way it's going to go. Depends upon where the environment goes. So I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that there's some are more or less benign. Now, I will say that some are utterly flim-flam and so wishy-washy, like Unitarians and the Quakers. It's hard to pin them down for anything. So they don't propagate too well. They also don't have a lot of members in them, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, you got to have some viral, you got to have a strong virus in order to propagate. A weak virus doesn't propagate.
Makes sense. We're talking to Daryl Ray, everybody. He's the author of the book, The God Virus. Daryl, if our listeners want to learn more, where can they go?
You can go Amazon, The God Virus, or you can go to my website, thegodvirus.net. Either place, you can get it. If you order it from my website, I'll sign the book for you.
All right. That's very nice of you. And you've got a speaking engagement. One more time, where will you be speaking?
I'm speaking in two places, Thursday in Dublin and again on Saturday in Dublin, to Science Gallery in Dublin, Ireland. I've also got speaking engagements in October in Texas. I've got speaking engagements all over the United States right now. So.
And they can find those on your website. Daryl Ray, thank you so much for being our guest. Greatly appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, here at 10 o'clock on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming live over the Internet at 1400KKZZ.com. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Join me on Monday when my guests are going to be Dov Barron, who's going to be talking about how to avoid being a wage slave, and former Monkey drummer Mickey Dolenz. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.